Okay, what was question 19? What is the iser of putting things for the first time on top of a fire on Shabbos? So that was a machlokes between the Ran and Rabbeinu Tam. It's really the same machlokes as the Ran and Rabbeinu Tam about Hachazara. They continue along their same lines of argument, but it is an extension. Meaning, according to the Ran, even a blech won't help you here. If it's not oyed to be yodo, died to lahachzer, or wasn't on the fire Friday going into Shabbos, you want to put something for the first time on top of a fire, so then that would constitute the problem of mechzikim of asha. It might look like you're cooking, even though there's a blech there. But if it's so cold, you take out of the refrigerator and put on top of a blech, that still looks like you're cooking. According to Rabbeinu Tam, would be a problem. You might come to lift up the blech and stoke the coals. If the blech doesn't help, though, that you shouldn't stoke the coals. So then how come the blech helps for Hachazara? That was also because you might come to stoke the coals. So again, we must say that there's two madregos here. That if it's really cold, so then you even would pick up a blech to stoke the coals. If it was on the fire, you took it off to carry around a little bit, but it wasn't really cold, so then it was on the fire, just took it to walk around a little bit, it's returning, so then the blech helps you to remind you not to stoke the coals. But to take something out of the refrigerator, or if it was already to be not already to be other, died to the house there, so to put for the first time, then even a blech won't help you. You might come to stoke the coals. Okay, so according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's because you might come to stoke the coals. According to the Ran, it's because it's mechzikim of asha. And here, even the blech doesn't help because it's still so far removed, more far removed than Hachazara. How is this shayach to machlekes ha-poiskim about using hot plates? So how do we paskin here? Do we paskin like the Ran or do we paskin like Rabbeinu Tam? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, we set a litmus test for this machlekes between the Ran and the Rabbeinu Tam is smicha, is putting something next to an oven. When you put it next to an oven, the assumption was that there is no shemi yechatbi gacholm, you might come to stoke the coals because it's next to the fire. But there still might be a problem with mechzikim of asha. It still might look like you're cooking even though it's next to the fire. So we said we're mako by hachazara to return to next to a fire. If it was on the fire, I walk around, you're allowed to return it next to the fire even though there's no blech on top of the fire. You're allowed to return it next to it. So you see from there that hachazara is also because of shemi yechatbi gacholm. But still, the Mishnah Berurah quotes two opinions. We saw this. Well, even though you're allowed to return next to a fire, because Achazara, the requirement for a blech is because of Shemi Echadu B'Gecholim, are you allowed to take stuff out of the refrigerator for the first time? Or if it wasn't allowed to be other than Daitel HaHasir, are you allowed to put it next to the fire or not? Nesina Mechadosh, is that allowed next to the fire? Anacha B'Tchilo, whatever, there's synonyms. Put it for the first time, is that allowed next to the fire or not? So one opinion of the Mishnah Berurah is that yes, that's allowed, because both of these isurim, hachazara, the requirements of the blech, and oed biyodo, and daita lahachzir, putting for the first time is because of shemi echad to b'gachom. So if it's next to the fire, there's no suspicion, the fear of shemi echad to b'gachom, you still come to stoke the coal, so you can take up out of the refrigerator and put it next to the fire. The other opinion of the Mishnah Berurah is, even though the requirement for the blech is because of shemi echad to b'gachom, so you can return next to the fire, Nesina Mechadosh, or putting for the first time, where it lost its connection with Nisha Shahia, that's because of Mechzikim of Asha, so that's also next to the fire. So there's two opinions really in the Mishnah Berurah, even though Hachazara, even assuming Hachazara is also, the requirement for the blech is also because of Shemi Echadu B'Gecholim, perhaps when it comes to Nesina Mechadosh, we split the psak, and here we say, no, that's because it looks like you're cooking stuff out of the refrigerator, even though you're going to put it on top of a blech, it looks like you're cooking. That's one opinion in the Mishnah Berurah. And the other opinion of the Mishnah Berurah is, no, all of this is because of Shemi Echad to B'Gecholim. There's a big fear if you're putting for the first time, and a lesser fear if you're putting returning. So blech helps if you're just returning. It doesn't help if you're putting for the first time. So that's two opinions in the Mishnah Berurah. So the difference will be, what about a non-adjustable hot plate? Non-adjustable, we said, is like a blech. It's like covered fire. It's going to remind you not to stoke the coals because you cannot stoke the coals. It's non-adjustable. But can you even take stuff out of the refrigerator and put for the first time on top of a non-adjustable hot plate? Or no, you can return to a non-adjustable hot plate. But what about putting for the first time? So we said, Rabbi Willard passes like that opinion in the Mishnah Berurah that distinguishes between Hachazara and Nesina Mechadosh. The requirement for a blech is because you might come to stoke the coals that you have in the non-adjustable hot plate. Oh, and then what's the problem of putting for the first time? It looks like you're cooking, but nobody cooks on a non-adjustable hot plate. It's odd to cook on a hot plate. Nobody cooks on a hot plate. So he claims, or he looked therefore claims, the best eitzah for heating up food Shabbos morning is a non-adjustable hot plate. You've solved Shemi Echad B'Gachom, and you've solved Nesina Mechzikim of Asha. And we said Rabbi Avadya goes with that, Rabbi Moshe goes with that, same type of argument. However, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Shechter, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, all feel, no, we paskin all the way through, consistently, it's all because of Shem Yechata V'Gilchalim, like that opinion of Mishnah Berurah that you can put next to the fire, even for the first time. Everything is Shem Yechata V'Gilchalim. So the fact that nobody cooks on a non-adjustable hot plate is irrelevant, the fact that nobody cooks on a hot plate. It doesn't make a difference. We don't paskin like Mefzikim Avashim. It's all because you might come to stoke the coal. So yes, a non-adjustable hot plate is like a covered flame, but it's not better than a covered flame. And since all you can do is return to covered flame, you can't put for the first time, many Paiskim argue you cannot put for the first time even on a non-adjustable hot plate. That's the story. Okay? It's a complicated question. That's why we left it till this time. So to machleg between the Rana Ben Utam, what is the nature of the east of the Sinai Mekadosh? Meaning, why do you need Oid B'yodah and Daita L'Hachsir? Is that because of Mechzikim Avash or Shem Yechad B'Gecholim? And it could be, even though we pass in our Chazars, because you might come to stoke the coals, perhaps here we split the Psaq, maybe it's because of Mechzikim Avash, maybe it's still because of Shem Yechad B'Gecholim. And the difference will be the non-adjustable hot plate. Because if it's covered flame and nobody cooks there, so if you go with that hybrid shot, here you'll be okay. But if it's Shem Yechad B'Gecholim all the way through, so even though you can't adjust a flame, all it is a covered flame, which doesn't necessarily mean you can put for the first time. Question 20. This issue, same machlekes, relates to whether or not you can heat up food by asking a nachri to do it on Shabbos or with a Shabbos clock. There's two opinions in the Bir Halacha. Can I ask a nachri to heat up my potato cook Shabbos morning by asking him to put it on the fire? What's the problem with putting on a fire? It's also midrabanan because of hachazar. Can I ask an Achri to do it? So one opinion in the Bir Halacha is that yes, Amir Anachri is one Shvus, one Yisr D'Rabbanan. Hachazara, returning, is a second Shvus, two Shvusin. Shvus to Shvus B'Makai Mitzvah, what Mitzvah? Einik Shabbos should be allowed. So you can ask the Achri to heat up food for you Shabbos morning if you get stuck. That's one opinion in the Bir Halacha.
Hachazara is the second one?
Yeah, or putting stuff for the first time on the fire. Nesina Mechadosh, let's say. It's all, also the Rabbanan, either Kashem Yechad, Bikachalim, you might come to stoke the coals, or it looks like you're cooking. Either one, it's a, either way, it's also the Rabbanan. I mean, Onach is another, it's the Rabbanan. Shvus, it's Mutam Makar Mitzvah. However, the Kazanish argues, he says, no, that's only if you understand that Nesina Mechadosh is also because of Mechzikim Avash, it looks like you're cooking. So then if you ask the Nachri to do it, that solves the problem. The Nachri looks like he's cooking, not me. It's a double Darabanan. It's a Shus to Shus. But the Chazanish says if the problem is because of Shemi Yechata B'Gecholim, so then so what? The Nachri put it there. You now might come to stoke the coals. So there's no Shvus to Shvus in the fact that you might come to stoke the coals. It's an Easter in this situation, but he calls an Easter Matzav. You're going to stoke the coals even though he put it on. So you don't have a Shvus to Shvus there. So the Chazanish says, whether or not you can ask a Nachri, is that called a Shvus to Shvus B'Makai Mitzvah, to put stuff on top of the fire, should depend on whether Nesina Mechadosh is because of Mechzikim Avash, in which case the Nachri looks like he's cooking, it's a Shvus to Shvus B'Makai Mitzvah, or whether it's also because I might come to stoke the coals, in which case the Nachri doesn't help the fact that he put it there.
What's the reason the Bir Halacha said it would be Asher?
The Bir Halacha just quotes two opinions about it. He doesn't give all a whole sheer clothing about it. Chazanish is the one who really starts plugging in the alumnus.
But the Bir Halacha is the one that says that Shvus should allow you to tell
Nachri. Yeah, Bir Halacha quotes that opinion. Shvus to Shvus, yeah. So according to some people's alumnus, if you start splitting the psak, maybe you could ask a Nachri to do it if there's a blech. The blech solves the Shem Yechate. If you're only worried about Mechzikim Avash, so you could allow the Nachri to do it if there's a blech. Whereas Rav Shechter are those who are only Shemi Yechata people, they're, you know, linear. Everything is Shemi Yechata, so then he can't hear from this. You can't do it, yeah. Yeah. The other issue that's related to this is the Shabbos clock. You want to put up a Shabbos clock before Shabbos with a stove on a Shabbos clock. You know, one of those two burners. Put a burner on a Shabbos clock. Can you take stuff out of the refrigerator and put it on the burner when it's off, and then have the Shabbos clock turn on Shabbos? When I put it on, the burner is off. That's mutar. I can't put stuff on a burner that's off. Ooh, it turns on now. The same way we run all Shabbos clocks. Maybe that's allowed. So Chazanish said, again, it depends. If the issue is one of Mechzikim Avash, so then fine, when you put it there, it was off. There's no, it doesn't look like you're cooking. But if you put it there, If the problem is because of Shemi Yachata B'Gecholim, so when the burner turns on, you might come to raise the burner so that it should get hot quicker. So you might come to stoke the coals, even though you put it there when it was off, you might come to stoke the coals when the burner turns on. So Chazinish says, no way. Okay, so no to the Shabbos clock either. If you put it on the burner when it's off before Shabbos, oh, that's a whole different story. Chazinish says that is allowed. If you want to leave it on a hot plate that's going to turn on Shabbos morning, you put everything there Friday, that's fine. But to put it there on Shabbos, no. Because you might come to stoke the coals and raise the fire. Okay, question 21. 19 and 20 were hard. 21. What is the contradiction between the Shulchan Aruch with regards to Kedera Gabi Kedera? Okay, so the Rishonim say, even though you're not allowed to put for the first time on top of a fire, for as we just discussed at length, you can take a pot of food and put it on top of another pot. That is allowed. The problem is, it's allowed for what? So that's a contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch. One opinion in the Shulchan Aruch says you could return to another pot, on top of a pot. Let's say you have a pot on top of the fire. I could return my chicken to on top of the pot. Kedera agabi kedera. I could return kedera agabi kedera. One opinion in the Shulchan Aruch. But you can't put there for the first time. You can't take out the refrigerator and put it on top of a pot. The other Sifin Shulchan Aruch said, no, you could even tell do what we put for the first time. Take out of the refrigerator and put on top of another pot for the first time. No problem. Contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch. You hear the contradiction? By saying. So Machzis HaShekel says the difference is between this is, I cannot explain it. Please don't ask me to. But the Machzis HaShekel says that there's a difference between Lach and Yavesh. Why? I don't know. But Lach, he says, if it's liquid, you can only return. If it's Yavesh, a kugel, you can put for the first time. Liquids only return. Obviously, we still have to be hot. Otherwise, it's Bishol. You can only return. Solids, you could even put for the first time.
How is that not the Sidur Mikdash?
It is, but it's on top of another pot. Since it's on top of another pot, what? Who looks like they're cooking on top of another pot? That's weird. Top of a pot. But no one ever mentioned that there's food in the bottom pot. According to the Machzis HaShekel, even if it's an empty pot, you're fine. If it's coal, if it's yavesh, you could put for the first time. If it's liquids, you can only return.
He doesn't explain that.
No, I think it has something to do with I suspect it has something to do with Bishol, but to explain it exactly, I have a hard time. But Rav Avadia goes with this pshat of the Machzis HaShekel, so does the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. This is what all the seminary girls and learn Bishol know about. So they go with this pshat. So Rav Avadia even takes it to an extreme. Rav Avadia says, hey, who said the pot has to be round or have an inside? Maybe even a blech, a flat pot is called a pot. So Avadia claims every time you take stuff out of the refrigerator and put it on top of a blech, that's called kedera al gabi kedera, your kugel on top of the blech, which is an empty pot. Great. You could take kugel, says Avadia, out of the refrigerator and put it on top of a blech. That's called the kedera al gabi kedera. If your mother does it, okay, Rabbi Avadia holds like that. Okay, maybe, you know. We Ashkenazim generally don't do it. You might want to educate someone who does this, but it definitely doesn't answer the food at all. It's a whole different league. Shmir Shabbos Gokhasa doesn't go with it. Shmir Shabbos Gokhasa says, how can that be called a pot? It's a blech. No. So Shmir Shabbos Gokhasa says you have to put an inverted pot, an empty pot, inverted tin, you'll see people do, and take kugel out of the refrigerator and put on top of the inverted pan on top of the pot, on top of the blech. No problem. So to be chayshus, you also by the hot plate to see people do this. To take an inverted tin pan, let's say you don't want to be mako entirely by the hot plate, take an inverted tin pan, put on top of the hot plate, take stuff out of the refrigerator, put it on top of the inverted tin pan. Great. That's the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, that's the psak of the seminaries. However, the Bir HaHalacha, that's 21. Okay? It's all Kedera Gabi Kedera, difference between liquids and solids, but nothing ever has to, no food has to be in the bottom pot. Even an empty pot is called Kedera, the bottom pot is called Kedera Agabi Kedera. Liquids you could just return, solids you could even put for the first time, and a machlok is what's called a Kedera. The Rebbe Avadia claims that even a black is called a kedera, and the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says, no, it has to be bent or something. Question 22. The Bir HaHalacha resolved the same contradiction differently. Again, one sif in Shulchan Aruch says you can return on top of a kedera. Yes?
Do you have to have could you just put, theoretically,
yes,
a pot over your burner?
Yes, but don't try putting a tin pan on top of a burner. It won't go well.
What about another pot?
Sure. I wouldn't recommend that either. You're going to have like a gas something or other. I don't know. It doesn't sound right. I bet. No? If you take a soup pot and put it over a burner with gas and fire, it'll explode or something. It just doesn't sound right.
They make blocks with like a little thing inside to hold water.
I know that. This we're going to get to. It's 22.
Yeah, no, so you don't have to like pulling a plant.
He wants to know you don't want water and this and that. He doesn't want to have to get wet and everything.
Oh, okay, well, I'm basically
like, he's a skimpy. I don't know. If you take a pot and put it on a gas range, that's not dangerous.
Yeah, I think theoretically.
Yes.
Shabbos,
so
you need to have food inside the pot or no?
Who? Shabbos,
yeah.
No food.
You need to have a pot.
No food anywhere except on top. You take your cocoa, put on an inverted tin pan, empty, on top of a black hot plate, great. Shmir Shabbos Kochasa doesn't allow you to return directly to a hot plate, like Rabbi Willig and Rabbi Vadia and Rabbi Moshe. He thinks a hot plate, like we said before, you can't put stuff for the first time. So he says an inverted tin pan on a hot plate, that's okay. Question 22. The Bialacha resolves the same contradiction differently. This is the way many other Paiskim argue against Shmir Shabbos Kochasa and Bavadia. The Bialacha, Prima Gadim, says that if there's no food in the pot, that's called a crooked blech. It's just a blech. It's just a covered flame, an empty pot. So then all you can do is return. If there's food in the bottom pot, now you can put for the first time liquid solids, as long as the liquids are not going to get cooked. It has to be hot. But you can put liquids or solids on top of a pot full of foods. You want to take stuff out of the refrigerator and put it on top of your chilling pot? Oh, fine. That's fine. An empty tin pan is just a crooked blech. That's, let's say your blech gets bent. All of a sudden it's a pan? No. So then they hold that's also, it's just a crooked blech. So if it's empty, all you can do is return. If it's full of food, you can even put for the first time. Why could you put for the first time if there's, so we'll leave it at that, okay? If there's food, then you can put for the first time. Why could you put for the first time? So the Chazon Ish explains the svara behind it. The svara behind it is because what heats up the food on top if there's food in the bottom pot? If I have chicken on top of a kugel, on top of a cholent pot, if I put chicken in a tin pan on top of a cholent pot, what heats up the chicken, the cholent or the fire? The cholent. Cholent is combustible, but the fire heats up the cholent, and the cholent heats up the chicken. So you can return to on top of hot cholent. That's no problem. Can't return to a fire. Or you can't put for the first time on top of a fire. You're not putting on top of a fire. You're putting on top of hot cholent. And the cholent is heating your food. If the pot's empty, what's heating your food? The fire. But here, the fire heats up the cholent. The cholent heats up the food on top. So they hold, if there's food in the middle... There's food in the middle, then it's all right. Because then it's not really the fire that's heating it, so then it's okay. So that's why some people have blechs that have water inside, as Bill was mentioning, and then you could even put for the first time, which is called a kedera blech. It's a blech that's a full kedera full of water.
The water is like food?
Yeah.
That's the idea?
Yeah, that's the idea.
Oh. So then you could put on for the first time? Obviously.
First time.
Right from your fridge.
Right. Yeah. In my house, that's what we do. We don't have a kedera blech, but we put everything on top of the cholent pot. But I would use a kedera blech. It's just messy. Okay, 23. Let's say, okay, we finished bishul, but now let's say you make a mistake. What's the three-way machlekes atanoim about a person who cooks on Shabbos? There's Remeir. Remeir says we're not going to talk about it if you did it b'mezid. If you did it b'shoigeg, you did it by accident, you cooked on Shabbos. Mezid, you have other problems. B'shoigeg, what's the halacha? So Remeir holds that it's mutter on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda holds it's mutter matzei Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan Asandler holds that for you it's also forever. For everybody else, it's mutter matzei Shabbos. Three opinions. Remeir holds it's mutter. Rabbi Yehuda holds till Remeir holds on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda holds matzei Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan Asandler holds for you it's also forever. For everyone else, mutter on matzei Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rabbi Yehuda that it's aser until matzei Shabbos. So if you make a mistake and you cook by accident on Shabbos, you can't eat it on Shabbos according to the Shulchan Aruch.
Sorry, Rabbi
Yochanan
says
mutter matzei
Shabbos.
Rabbi Yochanan Asandler says for you it's aser forever. The guy who returned it. The guy who cooked, I'm sorry. And everyone else is mutter on matzei Shabbos.
And then the last one?
The last one.
That was the last one.
Okay, Remeir is mutter on Shabbos.
Wasn't there three?
B'tei Avon. Rabbi Yehuda holds mutter on matzei Shabbos for everyone. Rabbi Yochanan Samba holds for you, it's also forever. Everyone else, Motzei Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch passes like Rabbi Yehuda, you gotta wait till Motzei Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah, because that's where the Rambam passes, the Mishnah Berurah quotes him the Gra, that many Rishonim pass like Rav Meir, so therefore it's Mutter B'makom Adchak, B'makom Tzarech Shabbos, you can rely on Rav Meir, that it's Mutter even on Shabbos.
Shulchan Aruch passes like Rabbi Yehuda?
Yes. And Mishnah Berurah quotes him the Gra, that B'makom Tzarech Shabbos, you can be Maker like Tosfos, like Rav Meir. That's 23. 24. Is Maaser Shabbos Mutter or Aser B'Hanoah? Maaser Shabbos means you did something be'iser on Shabbos and you benefited from it. So now you want to know, can you use it on Shabbos? So is it also b'achila? I mean, we know it's also b'achila on Shabbos, but is it also b'hano or mutter b'hano? So the Gemara learns out from a pasuk, Ushmartim es ha-Shabbos ki kodesh hi, you should keep Shabbos because Shabbos is holy. That ki kodesh hi lachem, sorry, because it's holy to you. So the Gemara says that Shabbos is like Kodesh, that it's Aser. If you violate Shabbos, what you did is Aser, you're not allowed to eat it. But it's Lachem. It's for you, which means it's Mutter Bahana. So the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk, Ki Kodesh, Hi Lachem, that it's Mutter Bahana. The problem is that there is a Mishnah, Mesechus Terumois, where the Mishnah says, if you are Tevel Kalim B'Shabbos, meaning you have a new metal bowl that you didn't use yet, and that you haven't Teveled yet, and you have to do Tfilas Kalim, you're not allowed to Tevel it on Shabbos, for whatever reason. We went into why you're not allowed to Tevel Kalim on Shabbos. But you're not allowed to do it. Let's say you did. The Mishnah says, Maseches Trumas, you can't use it on Shabbos. I'm not eating the pot, the bowl. So it means it's Aser Bahana. Why should it be Aser Bahana? We just got through saying, if you cook on Shabbos, the food is Aser Bahchila, but it's Mutter Bahana. Why is the bowl Aser? What happened to Kikodesh Hilochem? It's Mutter Bahana. So Shlomo Zalman explains that there's two parts to the Iser of Maaser Shabbos, of one who does an Iser on Shabbos and benefits from it. If it's food, it's Mutter Bahana, but it's declared as non-kosher food. It's like Macholas Asurois. It's like it's pork. But it's Mutter Bahana. It's just pork. You can't eat it. It's like Macholas Asurois. But that's what the Gemara means, it's Mutter Bahana. But then there's a whole other category. A Maaser Shabbos, a person who does an Iser on Shabbos, that doesn't have to do with food. Let's say you do a Tevel Kalim on Shabbos, you lit a fire on Shabbos, you carried something through Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. There, it's Aser B'Hanah.
So this only applies to food?
Only applies to... The Iser Hanah applies, you're not allowed to benefit from a Maaser Shabbos. So if you carried something through Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, you're not allowed to benefit from it. But when it comes to food, it has nothing to do with benefit. Food, Chazal... phrased the Iser of Maaser Shabbos differently, that they made it into pork. Not because you're not allowed to benefit from Maaser Shabbos, from doing an Iser on Shabbos, they made it into Macholas Asuras, okay? So there's two parts to the Iser of Maaser Shabbos, according to Shlomo Zalman. Food is Mutter B'Hanah, but it became pork. By other Melachos, except Bishol, it's different. You're not allowed to benefit from Maaser Shabbos. So any Hanah would be Aser.
Yes. Saying just Bishol by Achila, or it's, let's say you carry food from one place to another, is that...
No, cooked food.
Just cooked food.
Yeah.
Also, where's that Mishnah?
Truvais. Yes.
How does that fit with Rav Meir's answer from before, with if you cook Bishol, you can then some up there to eat?
Yeah, but B'mezid, it's also, so...
Oh, this is only B'mezid.
Yeah, it's only Bishol. No. Mine's the Shabbos. Gemara says, even though according, at some point it's going to be also by Achila. If you did it B'mezid, everyone holds it also by Achila. But... And then we have Bishogeg, you have your varying... I said we're not going to get involved in Mezid, it's not really relevant.
When you say it's like pork, that's if it's
B'mezid. B'mezid, right. Bishogeg, not according to a mayor. According to a Yehuda, on Shabbos, it's pork.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
And Rabbi Yochanan Sound, for you forever, it's pork. But yes, however, the parameters are...
I interpret the
yes,
like pork.
Yes.
This is only if you violate Bishol D'Oraisa.
Yes.
Yes.
No. Hachazar and Shehi will be exceptions, but Bishul Darabana, no.
What, that if you do Bishogeg, you can't get
it? No, it'd be Mutter. But Meiz would also be Mutter. It's only if it's Daraisa. Mm-hmm. Hachazar and Shehi are only Darabana too, but there we're going to Aser. But if you do Bishul Darabana, yes, you're right. So Shlomo Zalman uses this to explain an opinion of the Ramah. The Ramah writes that if you cook water, be Easter on Shabbos, it's also even when it cools down. So everyone asks in the Ramah, if you cook water, be Easter on Shabbos, why is it also when it cools down, you don't benefit from the malacha at all? It cooled down. Says the Shulman Zalman, no, because it became pork. So since it became pork, it's also on Shabbos, even when it cools down, because it became pork. Whereas other malachas, you're just not allowed to benefit from that which you did on Shabbos. If it cooled down, you'd be allowed. Just food items, you know, different, that when you cook them on Shabbos, they become like machol sasur. 25, it's related. What is the opinion of the Rashba? This is a great question. What is the opinion of the Rashba in the Magen Avraham? He says, if you cook in pots on Shabbos, the pots become usur, and you have to kasher the pots. This was very relevant in the time that people worked on Shabbos, Jews worked on Shabbos. From Jews worked on Shabbos. Because they cooked in the kosher bakeries were open on Shabbos, then, so you're not going to buy the stuff that they cooked on Shabbos, they baked on Shabbos. But according to the Magen Avraham, you can't buy from them on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday either, because the pots became treif. So Rav Moshe HaLevi Soloveitchik disagreed with this, that was the Rav's father, disagreed with this Rashba. He said, why should it become treif? The pots become treif. You're not allowed to benefit from the malacha that you did on Shabbos. Why should the pots be treif? Disagreed with this psak, and he allowed them to buy from the bakers who baked on Shabbos, allowed them to buy Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. You don't have to kasher the pots.
Because he said that you're not.
How can it become tray for pots? It's kosher food. You're not allowed to benefit from Isa Shabbos. But here, why should that answer the pot? So we explain, Shlomo Zalman explains, no, it's for his pshat, it's gavaldik. Because if Shlomo Zalman says, when you cook on Shabbos, it becomes like pork. Other malachas, if you do it on Shabbos, you're not allowed to benefit from that which you did on Shabbos. But when you cook on Shabbos, it becomes like machol sasur. It becomes like tray for food. And if you cook tray for food in the pot is usur on Sunday, on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You got a kasher of the pot. So this psak of the Rashba, the Magen Avraham, makes a lot of sense according to Shlomo Zalman. That even the pots are usur.
Who said the original? It was the Magen Avraham?
Yes.
But Rav Moshe HaLevi disagrees?
Yes. So why should the pots be usur? Okay, 26. What is the halacha if a person does shehiyah by accident on Shabbos? Very simple. Sifin Shulchan Aruch, a sugi in the Gemara. We had a whole back and forth in the sugi in the Gemara, but the bottom line is very simple. If you make a mistake, b'shogeg, and you leave food, uncooked food on an open flame going into Shabbos, it's mutter the food. As long as it was cooked. Oh no, if it's cooked. I think it says Shulchan Aruch has to be cooked. If it was cooked food, but you left it on an open flame going into Shabbos, it's allowed on Shabbos.
As long as it's cooked.
Yeah. If it's not cooked, then no. If you did it b'mezid, that was b'shoigeg. If you did it b'mezid, then it's usur on Shabbos. You have to wait till Motzei Shabbos. Why are we talking about mezid? I told you mezid is not really relevant to halacha l'maisa. You're right, it's not really relevant. Most of the people who ask shaylos, at least, are shogegin. A guy doesn't do it, but mezid have a, you know, an epiphany of tshuva on Shabbos by Shachar's morning. But you never know, but it usually doesn't happen. But the Ramah quotes from the Agos Ashri that if you return on Shabbos, that's like shehiyah b'mezid. So it's usher on Shabbos. If you return b'isar on Shabbos, which is usually the case you get asked, a person returned b'isar on Shabbos, so then the food is usher. It's like you left food on an open flame going into Shabbos, b'mezid. Why should it be b'mezid? Like b'mezid. So he says, because b'mezid, you did a ma'isa iser. You left it by accident. You left it on Friday going into Shabbos. So you did something passively on Shabbos. You didn't do a ma'isa iser on Shabbos. I left it put on the flame Friday. Oh, and I forgot that it's on an open flame going into Shabbos. But I didn't do a ma'isa iser on Shabbos. If you return on Shabbos, even b'shogeg, you did a ma'isa iser. So that's like a person who does shehiyah on Friday b'mezid. Ah, he's doing an avera. So here you did a ma'isa, an action b'iser. So the food is usur. So the food is usur for the person who returned the b'iser. It's usur for him. Everyone else can have the cholent, but the guy who returned the b'iser is usur for him on Shabbos. Okay. So the halacha is, if you left uncooked food on an open flame going into Shabbos, you did shehiyah by accident. So then it's usur because it was uncooked. If it was fully cooked, it's allowed. By accident. If you did it b'mezid, it's usur. And we treat, at least for the person who did it, returning even fully cooked food in a prohibited way, returning as if you left food Friday b'mezid. That it's usur for you on Shabbos. Yes?
Why
anytime you do, so anytime you're going to do a Maisa Isser, it's going to be also even if it becomes even if it was a Shogeg?
No.
We just say that by
Achazar. Well, anytime, let's say you turned on a...
You
know,
walk in a room and you turn on a light. And you turn on a light, you can't...
You're not supposed to benefit from the light.
You have to leave the room?
You can't benefit from the light. So if I could read in the room without the light, then you could sit in the light and read. But if you couldn't read in the room, yeah, you're not allowed to benefit from the light. Yeah. Lots of times you could have. Lots of times you wanted the light off, probably. Let's say a guy turns on the light in the bathroom. I don't think he probably could have used the bathroom in the dark. I don't know. I don't have to get involved in the gory details, but yeah. Okay. 27. On the Melach of Geizes. When is ripping hair out considered the Melach of Geizes, when not? So this is also a straightforward Gemara. The Gemara says if you rip hair out of an animal, that's not normal. It's only normal to cut the hair of the animal. So it's you're not chayiv. It's usur, but you know, it's kalachar yad, but you're not chayiv. And just the opposite is true by birds. If you pluck the hair out of the bird, then you're chayiv. If you cut the feather of the bird, then you're not chayiv. It's only if you pluck it out. And even with the animals, the Rush and the Rambam added, it's meduyuk like that in the Rambam, that if it's dead, then plucking the hair out is normal. Okay, everything depends on normal. So plucking hair out of a live animal, not normal. Dead animal, normal. Bird, it's only normal to pluck. It's not normal to cut.
Live is not normal?
Huh?
Dead is normal.
Dead, it became normal, yeah. That's why the Mishnah Berurah says if you have a fur coat, you shouldn't pluck the hairs out of the fur coat. Because it's a dead animal, now plucking the hairs out is geizes. Then we express some doubt as to how the hair actually gets into the fur coat. I don't know. I think it's natural. Okay, that's 27. 28. What are the two reasons that the Paiskim allow you to take the hair off cooked chicken on Shabbos? You know, sometimes in the calf there's hair on the chicken. Can you pull the hair out? Most people just rip off the skin, but can you take the hairs out? So the Samach Reina Masoret, the Das Torah. Famous sefer called the Das Torah by the Marsham. He answers it. He says, no, you can't do it. It's geizes. It's a dead animal. We said plucking out of a dead animal, certainly a bird, is normal. Like a chicken. So he says, no, you can't do it. And Shmuel Shabbos Kochasa is machmir like that. But then we quote a Ritzi Pesach Frank, where Moshe also says like this.
Sorry, who was that?
The Das Torah from the Marsham and the Shmuel Shabbos Kochasa. But then we said Ritzi Pesach Frank and Moshe allowed it for two reasons. Number one, because once the hair gets cooked with the skin, it gets cooked with the meat, the whole thing is the status of the meat. It's like it's all part of the chicken. They used to eat the whole thing. So even the hairs, they have the din of the skin and the meat, that it's all food.
Though?
Huh?
Isn't it border?
What's border?
Plucking out the feathers and you don't want.
There's a confusion as to what's skin and what's feather? You have to have a mixture.
By skin.
Are you moving psilas?
Yeah, by skin also. If you never eat the skin of chicken, you're not allowed to skin it and then eat.
Or just derech
hafila. We said you are allowed to do that, yeah.
You are?
Well, you might have to pull. We said the chicken from the bone is a little bit more complicated, but the skin on the chicken, we said, is part of the food of the chicken.
Part of what?
It's food. It's part of the. Many places can be said like that, that's called part of the chicken. It's all called like part of the food. If you say not, then maybe you have to pull the chicken away from the skin. I don't know. We talked about this by Burr. I don't remember us saying that was a problem. I don't know. It's interesting. Why is it a Burr? The other person can say it's allowed because the hair isn't actually stuck inside of the skin. It's just like sitting in there. Once you cook it, it's not really attached. So then you can pull it out because it's not really attached anyway. Okay? So two reasons that the Paiskim allowed it. Number one, once you cook it, it has the status of the skin. Number two, it's not really attached to the skin anymore once you cook it. 29. Why does the Shach allow we mentioned this case by Rishos. A woman comes to the mikveh Friday night. She should have cleaned out her nails before, cut her nails before Shabbos, because the nails are a chatzitza, without getting involved in that whole story again. The nails are a chatzitza, so you're supposed to cut your nails before Shabbos. Let's say the woman forgot to cut her nails. So the Shach allows us to get a nukri to cut her nails. Why does the shock allow us to get a nachri to cut her nails? Two reasons. Because it's a combination of two derabbanans. He says it's a shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. What's the shvus to shvus? One shvus is the nachri, cutting the nails. A Jew is not doing it. Number two is, Tysus writes, cutting nails is always derabbanan. Because you, for most people, because you don't need the nails. So it's a malacha, shein tricha leguf. It's a malacha where you don't need the product of the malacha. What's the product of the malacha? The nail. I don't need the nail. So it's a malacha, shein tricha legufa, and amira wanachri. That's two derabbanans. Shvus to shvus, b'makai mitzvah would be allowed. So that's why the shach allows it, because it's a shvus to shvus, b'makai mitzvah. One shvus is amira wanachri. The second shvus is, it's a malacha, shein tricha legufa. That's 29. 30. The Taz disagrees with the shach. Page 30. He says, because the Gemara says in Maseches Makkos the following. The Gemara says in Maseches Makkos, with regards to cutting off payas, that if you a person gives someone else a haircut and they cut off their payas, both people get Malkus. The Makif, the guy who does gives the haircut, and the Nikuf, the guy who takes the haircut, both get Malkus. So the Gemara says, the Makif, I understand. He gets Malkus, he's the one who cut off the payas. Why does the Nikuf get Malkus? He just sat there like a dummy, he didn't do anything. How could he get Malkus? It's a lav shame by Maisa. See, Gemara says no, because he's misayeya. He moves his head back and forth to enable the haircut. So he gets Malkus for that, for being misayeya. So too, the Taz says over here, you see, if you help out, you're like, it's like you're giving the haircut. So he says, so too over here, the woman's putting her hand out like this, so that the Nachri should cut her fingernails. So that's not the Nachri doing it, now the Yisraelis is cutting the nails. She's participating too, she's a misayeya. So just like the Gemara says, a person who takes a haircut gets Malkus for the haircut because he participated by moving his head around. So too, if you stick out your fingers, you are like cutting the nails because you stuck out your fingers. So it's like you participated. So the Taz says there's only one Derabbanan. It's a Malach Hashem Tzrich Lagufa, fine. But there's no Amir Al-Anachri because you're the one who's doing it by moving out your fingers. And the Shach disagrees. The Shach said, no, it was only over there. By Nikuf, that it makes a difference if you're moving your head around. Why? Because the Ravid writes that there's two Lavan in the Torah. One for Makif, one for giving a haircut, one for taking a haircut. Taking a haircut is its own Lav. Just the Gemara said, it's no Maisa, you're just sitting there like a dummy. So the Gemara says, no, you did move around a little bit. But you don't get Malkus because it's like you gave the haircut. You get Malkus for the one who takes the haircut. Just as a separate Ezer in the Torah for taking haircuts. All the Gemara meant to say was, if you're passive, how can you get Malkus? Gemara says you're not passive. But you're not getting Malkus. It's not like when you take a haircut, it's like you gave yourself a haircut. No. You get Malkus for taking a haircut. There's two Isurim, two Lavim in the Torah. But there's no Lav, says the Shach, for getting your nails cut. There's only a Lav in the Torah for cutting nails, not for getting your nails cut. So you can't compare the two cases. By Nikuf, you get Malkus for taking a haircut because there's a separate Lav in the Torah for taking a haircut as well as giving a haircut. But by cutting nails, there's no separate Lav in the Torah for having your nails cut. There's only a Lav in the Torah to cut someone else's nails, to cut the nails. So the Shach claims that whole discussion of Misayeya is irrelevant to here. Okay, so the Taz says he cannot do the Eitz of the Shach to have a Nachri cut the nails because Yisraelis is the one like she's doing it herself because she's participating. Like the guy who takes a haircut gets Malkus for cutting off his own payas because when he moves his head around, he's participating. And the Shach says, no, over there he gets Malkus because there's a separate law just for taking a haircut. Here there's no separate law for getting your nails cut. That was 30. 31. The Ramban, we'll go to 34 and we'll stop at 30. The Ramban writes that cutting nails is not a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa. The whole shach was based on the Tosfos shita that cutting nails is considered a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa because you don't need the nails. So it's a malacha that you don't need the product of the malacha. The Ramban says, true, you don't need the nails, but you fixed your finger. That's called productive. You fixed your finger. When you take off the nails, true, you don't need the nails, but you fixed your finger. So it's called a malacha ha'tzricha legufa. Then for sure, says the Taz, you can't do like the shach to have a nachri cut it. It's not a malacha shein tzricha legufa anymore. Now it's a malacha tzricha legufa because you fixed your finger. So we saw that Rabbi Isser Zalman Meltzer asked on this Ramban, why should this be different than a person who cuts branches off a tree who doesn't need the branches? If you cut branches off a tree and you don't need the branches, it's called a malacha shein tzricha legufa. Oh, do you want better? a person is a mace in the room, and he takes the mace outside of the room because it's stinking up the room. It smells. So we take him outside to a place to Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara says it's called Malacha Shein Tzricha LeGufa. Because you don't, it's not the pshat, you want the mace over there, you just want him out the room. You don't want him in the Rishus HaRabim, you just don't want him here. Why don't you say, I fixed the room? Well, much like the Rabban said, you fixed the guy's finger. So we explain that it's because the stipler says that there's a difference between the malacha of gozeis and the malacha of kaitzer. The malacha of kaitzer is removing the branches from the tree. In which case, the product of the malacha is just the branches. If you need the branches, it's called tzricha legufa. If you don't need the branches, it's called ein tzricha legufa. The malacha of gozeis is separating the hair from the animal. But it's both elements here are called the product of the malacha. Either the nail from the finger, or both of the product of the malacha. It's not a malacha of removing a place, something from the place that it grows. Branches is oikar davar migadua. You remove the branches from where they grew. So if you need the branches, tzricha legufa, you don't need tzricha legufa. But by gozeis, it's removing the. It's not removing something from the place that it grows. It's separating the nails from the finger. In which case, the finger and the nails are the product of the malacha. They're both a product of the malacha. So if you need one or the other one, or you did something productive on one or the other one, the finger or the nail, then it's called the malacha tzricha legufa. So the nails from the finger are very different than the branches from the tree. Because the branches from the tree, the whole product of the malacha is just the branches. But the finger from the nail is the nail and the finger are the product of the malacha. Okay, 32. The Gemara says in Maseches Erevin that if you pick off skin, and the Gemara is discussing a mum on an animal that has a growth, and you want to cut it off, so it shouldn't be a mum. So Gemara says, if you cut off skin, extra skin, on Shabbos, if it's with a kli, and it's live skin, not dead skin, if it's with a kli, a utensil, it's chayv midaraisa mishum gozeis. If it's not with a kli, or it's dead skin, it's also midarabanan. But if it's with a kli and it's live skin, it's also midaraisa mishum gozeis. The Rambam doesn't have this. The Rambam says it's all also midarabanan. It's against the Gemara. So the Aruch HaShulchan changes the gears in the Rambam. Which is always the nuclear option. Changes the gears. The Aruch HaShulchan says. Ah, the Rambam never said it. However, we quoted from the Chemdes Yisrael and the Minchas Chinuch, who both said the Chemdes Yisrael was a Lomdush Sefer on the Malamites Malachas. So the Chemdes Yisrael, as well as the Minchas Chinuch, both said the same shot in the Rambam. And that is, they can't resolve the Rambam, fix the Rambam in the Gemara. That's a problem. You can't resolve those two things. But what exactly is the pshat in the Rambam? Why shouldn't it be Gozeis Midaraisa? If you pick off live skin on Shabbos with a kli, it's normal. And it's with a kli, and it's live skin. Why shouldn't it be gozeis? So they say for the Rambam, there's only gozeis by things that keep growing and growing and growing. It's a product of the body, like hair or nails. But this is not hair or nails. This is not things that grow on the body. There's gozeis. This is a part of the body. If you cut off the or ha'arla on Shabbos, that's not gozeis. It's not something that grows back. It has to be something that you cut it off, it grows back. You cut it off, it grows back. That's shearing. Otherwise, it's just not gozeis. So that's why the Rambam felt peeling skin off your lips is not gozeis. How can that be gozeis? It's not like hair. It's gozeis midarabanan, not gozeis midaraisa. Okay, that was the Rambam. 33. According to Rashi in the Rivash, why are you not allowed to comb your hair on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Maseches Nazir. A Nazir is not allowed to cut his hair, and therefore he's not allowed to comb his hair. So to on Shabbos, you're not allowed to comb your hair because maybe you'll rip out hair. It'll be gozeis. So Rashi says the fear is that it's a psikreshe. If you take a metal comb or a plastic comb and comb your hair, a woman takes a plastic comb and combs her hair, she'll for sure rip out hairs. So it's a psikreshe. Even though it's not your intention is to make your hair look nice, but you're for sure going to rip out hairs. And the Rivash says, no, that is exactly your intention. Your intention is to remove loose hairs. Or extraneous hairs. So then the Rivash says, it's miskaven. So Machlek is Rashi, the Rivash is, why is it also to comb your hair on Shabbos? Or for a Nazir too? Is it because it's a psik reshe, that's Rashi, or is it because you are miskaven? The difference will be, yes.
Who comes their hair to work out their
hair? Yeah, I don't know. It's not very convincing, you're saying.
Unless you define messy hair as like loose hairs that you need to get rid of to make it less messy.
Or maybe it's to clear out the knots, in which case you mean to remove the knotted hair. Yeah, for us, oh, who would ever want to pull out hair? I don't know. All right. Pull out our hair for other things. So the what's the difference between them? So Mishnah Berurah says the difference will be if you have a brush that's not a psik reishe. Let's say you have a very soft brush. He says from Seir Chazir, from pig hair, or something else. So something that's very soft that doesn't pull out hairs.
Are you allowed to benefit from a pig's hair?
Yeah, you're allowed to benefit from it. You can play football in pig skin. There's no... You can get a pig heart. I don't know why the guy won't think the Jews can't get a pig heart replacement. A pig valve, something, no problem with it. Anyway, you can't eat it, but you can get a valve in the heart from it. Anyway, so the Mr. Brewer says, yes, two opinions. Let's say it's not a psik reishe. So if the problem with combing your hair is because it's miskaven, you have intention to rip out hairs, so then it's always going to be also even a soft brush. That's your intention. But if it's because it's a psik reishe, well, so maybe if it's very soft that it doesn't always happen, it would be allowed. 34. What are the four reasons that, I argued at least, that you could have that a man at least could brush his hair on Shabbos? So I suggested four things. The first one is that this, if you use a soft brush, maybe it's not a psik reishe. So it's a tzad. There is one tzad. You're miskaven to take out hairs. First of all, I agree with, I don't think it's that common that that's really your kavana. But so the first tzad, the hakel, I don't think this works for women. But if you use a man, use a soft brush, I don't think it's a psik reishe he's going to pull out hairs. Number two, we said that Egletal argues that perhaps combing the whole thing is kalachar yad. That's not the normal way to pull out hairs. It's with a comb or a brush. So he says, even if the combing is usher, it's the kalachar yad. It's only the rabbanon. Okay? And then we could argue, the Rivash argued, if let's say it's very short hair, if you have short hair like we have, most men have short hair. So if you have short hair, combing doesn't rip out hairs ever. So the Rivash argued, people who have short hair, it wouldn't work for women, people who have short hair, it's not, it probably doesn't happen. So first, what side is, use a soft brush. Where the Mishnah Berurah said already, then maybe you could be mekel. The second one is the whole thing is kalachar yad. The third one is because most men have short hair. And then the Mishnah Berurah says another tzad, if you just don't mean to comb your hair, you just masakin saira ma'at. You don't really even comb it. You just fix it superficially. So then the Mishnah Berurah said that you don't have the concern either. It basically boils down to four different ways of saying the same thing, is that here you're not going to rip out hairs. So a man who has short hairs is not going to rip out hairs. So if you use a soft brush, you just masakin saira ma'at, and the whole thing might be kalachar yad. So by a man, you can be mekel, I think, to use a regular brush, as long as it's soft. A woman, I don't think this would help. They really rip out hairs, and they comb their hair, brush their hair. So then you'd have more of a chashash. Okay, Mirza Shem, next time, we'll start tomorrow, we'll go to start 35. We'll try and see what we could do tomorrow. Maybe we'll have a Shirayim on Wednesday. A few extra things. Okay, Shkayach Hamad.